It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Ben Aduccio. Taking a deeper look at what is causing the water woes in McDowell County.
I don't advise people to drink it, but I drink it. We drink. Actually, we all drink it. I mean, they just put it on there because we need to replace the filtering. That's all. I don't think nothing wrong with the water.
The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. The governor's State of the State address is his chance to lay out his legislative agenda for lawmakers before the work of the session begins. Yesterday began the final week of the legislative session, and Governor Tomlin and his staff are keeping a watchful eye on what's happening in both chambers. Ashton Mara has this update on how Tomlin's agenda is progressing.
Governor Tomlin set forth his priorities before a joint meeting of the legislature, members of the Board of Public Works, and State Supreme Court almost 2 months ago. His top concerns: balancing the budget, providing teachers and state employees with salary increases, and reforming the state purchasing process, among others. All of those issues are still on the table as members of the House and Senate near the end of their regular session. While purchasing may not have been specifically mentioned in the State of the State address, teacher pay raises were. The governor's original proposal called for a 2% increase, but that raise has taken many forms as it traveled through the Senate and now the House. After passing the bill through the Senate, Senator Brooks McCabe commented he was disappointed in the chamber's decision to pass a pay raise on borrowed money, since a portion of the rainy day fund is being used for the first time ever this year to balance the budget. Tomlin's Deputy Chief of Staff Jason Pizzatella says that's not how the governor views these salary increases.
The biggest driver in our budget, the reason why we have to use part of the rainy day fund this year, is not because of education spending. It's because of increases in our Medicaid budget. And so those are the reasons why we've had to adopt a bare bones budget that makes investments where we need to make them, and also uses some money from the rainy day fund in a targeted fashion so that we can get through the next couple of years. So it's not education spending that's caused us to borrow. It's our Medicaid spending. And because the governor wants to make sure that we put more money back in the classroom through a whole host of factors, one of those factors, we think, is making sure that there are qualified teachers in the classroom. And one way to do that is through compensation.
In order to balance his budget, Pizzatella says the governor chose to propose 4 or 5 pieces of general legislation that would revert funds back to the general revenue fund. Some of those bills, however, have failed, including one taking millions from the state road fund. Pizzatella says balancing a budget is a give and take. There may be some disagreements about how to get there, he says, but they will, eventually. As lawmakers entered this session this year, they were thrown off course by the Elk River chemical spill in Charleston. Not only were lawmakers and their staff without usable water, like hundreds of thousands of West Virginians, but they now had to legislatively determine how to prevent a future spill from occurring. Members of the House Judiciary passed the latest version of Senate Bill 373, now including medical monitoring from the State Bureau for Public Health and many other provisions not originally introduced.
The governor tried to introduce a targeted piece of legislation that would make sure that what happened at Freedom Industries never happens again. The legislature has expanded the scope of the legislation, Senate Bill 373, but we think they've done so in a responsible manner.
Pizzatella says the governor and his staff will need to further review the newest version of the bill before he can say they feel comfortable signing it. The bill heads to House Finance before a full vote from members. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
Due to the ice, snow, and hazardous road conditions, Governor Tomlin closed state agencies yesterday and urged West Virginians to stay off the roads if they could. However, this did not apply to the House of Delegates, which came in to look over legislation from the Senate. Aaron Payne reports.
After the requested meeting delays by Speaker Tim Miley, the House Judiciary Committee looked over Senate Bill 461, which would create the Future Fund. No major changes were suggested by the committee. While none of the delegates opposed the idea of setting aside extra money from severance tax from natural resources for the sake of future projects, there were concerns the language of the bill would allow future legislatures to change the code and use the money for other purposes. A proposed constitutional amendment from the Senate would alleviate these fears if passed by the public. It would clearly dictate that the money could not be used other than for its intended purpose. Delegate Isaac Spinagle spoke in favor of the bill, claiming it was good policy.
In 2014-2015, we'll bring in about $350,000 off this. The year after, be $15 million, $15.5 million. The year after, a little over $18.5 million, and $13 million, almost $14 million, and then almost $12 million. And that's excluding any interest. So we're not talking about large sums of money, but I do think it's a good policy to set aside sort of, I kind of view it as a retirement account, set a little bit aside and save it for these projects that we know we're going to have coming up with our roads, our bridges, numerous items throughout the state.
Delegate Justin Markham added that this was a chance for West Virginia to take care of itself in a way it did not in the past.
As a delegate from the coal fields, I think we missed, some of our legislatures from the past have missed a prime opportunity to do this same thing with the coal severance tax. So I would urge your support for this bill. It's a great way to help our entire state. Being from a coal-producing area, it's a great way for me to go home and tell my constituents that in 2020, we got ways to bring money back to southern West Virginia.
The bill was approved unanimously and sent on to its next reference in finance. Another Senate bill approved for a second reference was 391, providing a salary increase for teachers and school service personnel. The House Education Committee took the bill up and proposed three amendments, each increasing the raise. The first two amendments increased the raise by $1,000 and then $1,500 across the board. Committee Chair Mary Poling says that the third amendment proposed by Delegate David Walker would increase the total raise to $6,000 in 3 years. The first year would be by $1,000, the second by $2,000, and the third by $3,000.
That amendment was discussed at length. I actually had Delegate Perry to chair and oppose the amendment, but it passed on a very strong voice vote. We then passed the bill out with that amendment in it.
Delegate Poling says while there is no debate over the figure, there is little debate over the need for a salary increase.
There aren't enough teachers available. So this was an idea that by giving the $1,000, it would bump the starting salaries up so that it would be easier to recruit new teachers.
The bill will now move on to the House Finance Committee. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Aaron Payne in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:37. Yesterday, we heard from a resident in McDowell County explaining how she lives without consistent access to clean water. North Fork has been on a boil water advisory since July of 2013, even longer than the folks in neighboring Wyoming County in Bud and Alpoca. It's the seventh boil water advisory since 2009. Some residents in higher elevations have gone more than 5 weeks without water in their homes. But like in Alpoca, once again, part of the problem is an outdated water treatment system. In the second of two reports, Jessica Lilly has more from the North Fork Pump House.
The latest boil water advisory for about 180 customers on the town's water system was issued after the filter basically stopped working. It's located inside a deteriorating building in North Fork along the Elkhorn Creek River. On a cold winter day, city workers show me around.
This is the building such as it is. It is antique, you know, the way you can see that.
The rust runs deep inside the two-story cinder block building. Upstairs is access to two water filters. The workers say that the water comes from a deep well under the building. The well is fed to a tank on a hill and then flows back to the pump house to be filtered, put in a clear well, and finally pumped to customers. Larry Porterfield works for the city and helps maintain the water system.
Actually, it's not bad because I work here and I know the water ain't really that bad and I'd still drink it. I mean, I don't advise people to drink it, but I drink it. We drink. Actually, we all drink it. I mean, they just put it on there because we need to replace the filtering. That's all. I don't think nothing wrong with the water.
The filtration system is dated and needs to be replaced. To cope, Porterfield says they flush the system about every other day, which causes pressure to drop.
Normally, we usually do it maybe every 2 days, maybe every 3 days. That's what they recommend. But now we have to do it every other day because our filtration material has got to its limit where it's not working anymore. So we need to replace that, and that will filter the water better.
Downstairs, Porterfield shows me the pressure reading. On this day, it was high.
Yeah. Everybody should be having pretty good pressure right now. But like when the pressure goes down, it goes down to about 60, sometimes maybe 40. And that's when people on our higher elevations will not be receiving water.
Flushing combined with a bitter cold winter, several private busted pipes, and almost constantly running water to keep pipes from freezing creates very low pressure at times. North Fork worker Joe Gadberry says finding and fixing underground leaks is yet another challenge.
We basically create miracles with what we got. What we got, we maintain, but we make sure they have water. I mean, it'd be nice to have a backhoe, but most of the time we dig them by hand.
To the right of the metal stairs, a large pipe runs parallel to the ground. The pipe eventually curves through the floor. At the bend sits a meter covered in what appears to be a mixture of moisture, rust, and corrosion. I ask Porterfield about it.
Oh, it's just, this is our master meter, but it's in op right now. It doesn't work right now. They're in the process of getting this one. Actually, I'll let you see it. It tells how much gallons of water we're pumping out, but right now it's inoperative.
At City Hall, I find City Councilman Curtis Spencer, who also serves as chairman of the water board.
It's an old system, and we're just trying to make it last till the PSD come down to it, but there's no definite date when they're going to be here.
North Fork will eventually be a part of the Elkhorn Water Project. The project is broken down into four phases with plans to pick up old coal camp towns along Route 52, starting just past the Mercer-McDowell lines where a new water plant will be located. The initial water line will be installed from there through Mayberry and eventually ending up in North Fork Hollow. Bids for Phase 1 go out this month, and construction is expected to be complete after 1 year. Phase 2, which is still at least 2 years away, is expected to bring a dependable clean water supply to North Fork. The McDowell County Public Service District has been working to coordinate the projects as quickly as possible. Executive Director Mavis Brewster says it just takes time.
You have a lot of times the residents, they don't understand the process. They just have a need for the water, and they don't understand all the hoops that you have to jump through. So it is at times frustrating and it's a little discouraging, but overall I've been at the PSD for like 12 years, you know, and I've seen so many projects from the beginning to the finished, and it's so rewarding once you see that project finished and those residents actually having water, good, safe, quality water that they've never had before.
Brewster says the biggest challenge is securing funding. She hopes small cities block grants will pay for Phase 2. The Water Board was created late December 2013 to make improvements to the system and collect on delinquent accounts. Board Chairman Curtis Spencer says about 40% of the customers have stopped paying their bills. Phase 2 is dependent upon an election in neighboring Keystone. The town has to tie into the PSD in order to move the project along. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly in North Fork.
It's been a rough winter for school systems across the state, with counties having to cancel more days than usual. Just because they're staying home, it doesn't mean students have to stop learning. The West Virginia Department of Education offers a free online website called Learn 21, with games available that augment what they learn in the classroom. 2 years ago, Cecilia Mason visited a classroom in Martinsburg where Learn 21 was being used.
Partial multiplication or partial products. Because we broke it down by place value. 5 tens times 3 tens. 5 tens times 7 ones.
Fifth grade students in this classroom at Orchard View Intermediate School in Martinsburg are playing Probability Pond, a math game offered on the Learn 21 website that features a big green frog. The frog can eat fireflies in colors of blue, yellow, purple, and red. The students have to determine what the probability is that the frog will eat a particular color.
So when Naya worked out each step,
the students take turns guessing the answer and entering it on a large smart board in front of the room. Special education teacher Sharon Collins led this exercise 2 years ago. Collins has since taken a job at the central office in Berkeley County as a Title I special education specialist. When she was in the classroom, Collins incorporated as much technology as she could into her lessons.
Almost every day we find something online through Learn 21 or other resources and incorporate it into our classroom. With having an inclusion classroom, we have students who have vision problems, we have students who have speech problems, learning problems, we have an autistic student in our class, and then we also have, you know, regular ed students, and it really appeals to their different type of learning styles. You know, you've got visual, you've got oral, they get immediate feedback, and it gets them up and moving as well.
The West Virginia Education Department started Learn 21 4 years ago. The website offers online games that go along with what's taught at school. Teachers can use the games in class, and students can access the website from home if they want to practice some more. Donna Landon is the department's e-learning coordinator. She says Learn 21 is meant to help students in a variety of ways.
They could find content on the website, go into that content, complete a game or an interactivity that went right along with what they were learning in their classroom. So it was either supplemental or it helped them get at areas where they were having, you know, some problems, or it could accelerate their learning.
Landon says the games are available for students to use for homework or when there's a snow day and even over the summer. The education department also encourages teachers to incorporate them into the school day.
Not that all students have to be using the same content or the same resource, but that they could break their students into small groups and have them engaged in activities that go along with different things that they happen to be teaching. Some students could be using resources that have them review concepts that need to be reviewed. Some students could be working on current material, and other students could be accelerated and moving forward.
For each of the problems below, what is your response going to be in? Everyone?
Fraction.
The students in this fifth grade classroom at Orchard View Intermediate School seem to enjoy learning math through games like Probability Pond.
I think it's a good website because it has lots of resources that kids could use, so if they have any trouble with math, they'll get better.
I think the website is really helpful, especially for me because I have trouble with math, and I think the probability game will make kids think it's kind of fun.
Do you guys think that this is a better way to learn math? Why?
It tells you you're correct or like not.
It helps like what you need to work on and what your improvement is.
I think it's good because it's better than just looking in the book, reading out of the textbook. You actually get to watch something while it's fun while you're getting to learn math.
Our kids today, they are very digitally aware.
Special ed teacher Sharon Collins.
You know, they're used to playing games. They're used to doing things on the computer. You know, the visualness of it, I think, is what appeals to them most. And this is how they're learning nowadays. You know, the paper and pencil does not give them the motivation lots of times, whereas when we're doing something visual, something that they have to go up and interact with, it appeals to them, and I think it helps with their learning styles and to be more successful in the classroom.
The education department is continuously adding content to Learn 21, which offers games based on grade level and subject matter and is available online for students to use during snow days. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Cecilia Mason in Martinsburg.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Find great stories, photos, and videos, and you can subscribe to our West Virginia Morning podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our news director is Beth Voorhees. Our director is Bob Powell. From Morgantown, I am Beneduccio. Good morning.